Hey, we're glad that you're listening to us today. This is Levi. We have Travis and Nate here with me also. And today we're going to be talking about something that is probably near and dear to all of our hearts, is just watching our society and kind of the breakdown and the dismantling of what's happening within our society. We have peaceful protests, which we're all for. There's a time and place, I think, for peaceful protests. But then these things have turned into riots, and our society seems a little bit upside down right now. And so we wanted to talk about what God created to protect and to guide and to lead in society today. And there's three tenets within the scriptures that God uses to help us to live in the world in which we live, because we recognize that our world is broken. And so he gave us the government. The government is there to provide some law and justice and to punish those who are evil. We have the church because our hearts are broken. Man is sinful. The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so it deals with man's heart or man's spirit. And he set that up for people to know and follow Jesus, which is, you can never be more human than when you're doing that. And then thirdly, but not least, he created the family. And the family is there to point people toward God. And so mom and dad love God. Mom and dad are following God's ways, and mom and dad are pointing kids to him. You see that in Deuteronomy, I think it is, chapter 6. It says, you know, when you wake up, talk about God. When you lie down, talk about God. Write it on your doorpost. Write it on the gates as you walk out. You should talk about God because God is awesome. It doesn't say that in the Hebrew, but it might.
Has it? You should be have the word on your forehead or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So all of these three components are really under God's authority. They're building blocks to society. One crumbles, it starts to take the other ones down. We just built a foundation at my house for a new sauna, which is going to be awesome. But we were a little off in our foundation, and the block layer had to come and kind of fix those things so it didn't crumble or didn't lean. And I think the same goes true. When the family is off in our society, it starts to lean. If the church is not presenting and proclaiming the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, it starts to lean. And if the government is not under the authority of God and punishing those who are evil, it starts to lean. I think we see this right now in our government when they're allowing people to pillage their towns and take things and steal things. That's not okay, I guess.
Yes. True. Yeah. I was looking at some scripture in regards to that in Romans 13, where it talks that everyone should be subject to governing authorities. And it goes down, it says exactly what the governing authority is about. He is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the evildoer. And so the role of the government is, when people do bad things, they're to enact justice on those people. And so when the government is failing to arrest and bring these guys to justice who are rioting and destroying their communities, it's a really bad thing. They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
The government is the wooden spoon of God. Did you get a wooden spoon? Did you get a wooden spoon when you were a kid when you did something wrong?
My dad had a belt, man. Those were rough.
My mom had a broom. A full size broom. I deserved
on
it.
On top of the head.
I deserved it.
Did you ever call her
whatever.
A witch?
No. And it didn't matter, up top of the head, side of the head, whatever she could get a hold of when she took a swing. Dude. I deserved it.
Ouch.
Yeah, so I think that the government has to play its role. And if it's not playing its role, it becomes a societal problem. In America, the churches have lost their flavor for the gospel. We want to be tolerant is the word even in the churches. And here's the reality. The gospel is the gospel. God came to tell us the truth, but he came to tell it to us in grace. We are sinners in need of a savior. And if the church is not proclaiming that, and the church is not dealing with man's heart, it doesn't matter what we do, what law we put into place. It's not going to change man's heart. What's the passage? Ephesians chapter 2 talks about this, and it talks about these two groups of people. There's one group of people that they had Jewish privilege. I don't know if you can say that, but I just did.
That's funny.
So there was this racial tension, I guess is what you would call it, between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And the Jewish people believed that because they were the God's chosen people, that they had this privilege. They were above. They kind of looked down on the Gentiles. The Gentiles were those who were not Jewish. They were a people who the gospel spread out to, and it was open to them because of what Jesus did for them on the cross, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that they believe in the one that God had sent, and they began to believe, and they began to believe that they were sinners in need of a savior, and that savior was Jesus, and they came into the family of God. They were heirs to the throne, is what the scriptures say. And so there's this racial tension that's going on in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 14, it says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility." In this thing, he destroys it by us becoming children of God, our hearts changing, us becoming new creations. This is what changes man's heart, is that we become one in the body of Christ.
Yeah, and as I was thinking through that, like in the church, then there's also this unity. There's also this equality that we really don't see elsewhere, and often don't see elsewhere, because in the church, it doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you come from a good family with a good name or whatever, or where you come from. None of that matters. You're all equal under Jesus, and that brings about some stability as far as socially as well. And so the health of the church is a really helpful thing for those who maybe are from a poor background to get that leg up, if you will, right? Like, you're just as important as any other guy in the church. The rich guy probably needs some of the other side of that. Instead of needing the leg up, he probably needs to remember that he's responsible for how he uses the resources God has given to him. He can't pretend like he's better than everyone else or anything like that, because God is going to hold him accountable. God is going to hold him accountable to how he treated his fellow man. And it wasn't about him being better or greater or anything like that, because everything he had came from God. And so the church helps remind us of those very important things, no matter what background, where we are currently, what kind of resource we have, and that provides that stability in our society.
And one of the most poignant things that I got out of seminary, the things that, you know, you get those things that somebody says and you just remember and you know you're going to remember for the rest of your life. One of my professors, instructors said, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross." And what he meant by that is that it doesn't matter, just like Paul's talking about in his letter to the Galatians about no longer Greek nor Jew, free, slave, male, female. You're all equal in the eyes of Christ. Like you were talking about, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The foot of the cross, the ground is level and we're all equal. We all fall short. We all need Jesus. And I think when the church can promote that and push into that and reaffirm that and shout it from the rooftops, like people look at each other differently. You know, you start looking at your brother and your sister as equals. You're all fallen. We're all broken. We're all sinners. We all need Jesus as our savior. And that levels the playing field of life.
Yeah, I think when you have a testimony, I think is the old school word for it, and the old school word of a testimony of God's grace upon them, mm-hmm. and you start to hear people's stories, and you start to give them grace because you hear the pain and the brokenness that they've gone through and what God has called them out of and into this new life in Him. And I think that is one of the beauties of the church, is that when I hear your story and how it's connected to God's story, it's always this great story that we get to encounter.
And it gives you a different look at people, too. Instead of thinking, I mean, I think oftentimes I think, oh, you've had it easy, or you haven't had the struggles that I have, or you haven't messed up like I have, and we put ourselves in those positions of shame or less than or worthless, and or even sometimes we elevate ourselves above others, and we realize that we've all come from the place of brokenness. We all have our baggage. We all have our wounds. And you start hearing those stories of how God has come through and shown up for him and pulled people out of this stuff, that we start to realize we have a lot more similarities than differences, and we can fight alongside each other for a purpose together instead of against each other for our own truths and our own purposes. It's unity.
Yeah, one of the building blocks that is at risk maybe in our society today is really the government. And if you get into a debate with somebody, they will say, you know, there's separation of church and state. That doesn't mean that there's separation of symbols and things like that. The framers never intended that. What they intended is that the church and the government weren't in cahoots with each other, and that all the power wasn't being off of that, but they believe that there should be a moral fabric. And where does that moral fabric come out of? And where does that come into play within society? And I think that is through the church, and there is a connection to it, but it's not one denomination that is pushing toward that.
Because that's bad.
That is bad. That's what was happening in Europe. That's why
they
were coming out of that.
And even God set up his own people for that to be distinct, right? When he was setting up Israel as a nation, his people, the Jews, he said, hey, this family, you're going to be the rulers. Hey, this family, you're going to be the priests. And he made sure that you won't combine with one another. You can't have the priests and the rulers mixing. God set it up that way for a reason. And it's because there's a lot of power as a priest or someone who is responsible for helping people understand who God is and bring people to an understanding of how God wants us to live in our lives. But then there's great power as an authority over a nation or over a city or whatever those responsibilities might be of government. And so combining those two can just cause a lot of corruption. And we've seen it throughout history. And so it's good that our nation does separate those things. And there's an amendment saying that there shouldn't be laws that are made to establish a religion or prevent the free exercise of it. So that's a good thing. But as our government and churches fail in their certain spheres, that becomes problematic. Because whenever there's a vacuum, something's going to step in to provide structure and provide authority.
Alexis de Tocqueville?
De Tocqueville, I think.
De Tocqueville. Yeah, was the 19th century French diplomat, politician, political scientist, historian, and one of the most famous works that he did was The Democracy in America. He was traveling around America, and he has these observations of what makes America great. He said that, I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there, in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there, in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there, not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. And I think that there is a testament to those building blocks. The government is there to swing the sword toward those who are evil. The church mm-hmm. is there to call people up into mm-hmm. the goodness of who Christ is. And then you have the family. The family is really, I think, the cornerstone of a society. How the family goes, you can track how that society will end up and what it will look like in any given society. We have some problems within our society with a fatherless society in many of our areas. And where you have a fatherless society, crime rates go up, suicide rates go up, high school dropout rates go up. It's very clear that the family structure needs to be in place in order to have a great society.
Yeah, as we mentioned before, God established in the family that we're to talk about God wherever we go, to teach his ways and to demonstrate our love for him. And so when that's not happening, when that's not there, people are kind of left up to their own devices. And I don't know about you guys, but if I follow my heart, I'm not going anywhere good. I'm going to some deep, dark places. And so
you are the darkest one of us.
Maybe. And so when, you know, you have Disney films and cartoons saying, oh, just follow your heart, like, and our kids are left to kind of make their own path, they're not going to go to the places of righteousness and good and truth. They're going to go to the places of selfishness and that
truth.
Kind of stuff.
And just their following truth. My truth, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But anyway.
Well, and it's not all that surprising, right? From the beginning of time, man's followed his own way, and it's kind of mm-hmm. flopped just a little bit. I mean, we talk about this in Men's 33 all the time. The key verse for that comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, and let all that you do, do in love. I think if guys stepped up, if dads stepped up, if husbands stepped up, and they lead their home as spiritual leaders, they provide for their family, they love their wives, they hang out with their kids, they invest in raising them and pointing them with a life trajectory towards following God, you would see the world change in a mighty, mighty way.
And we have an opportunity right now with COVID stuff going on because a lot of things have been cut. Mm-hmm. You don't have as many recreational activities and things going on. A lot of events were cut. You have time to spend with family and just build into your kiddos, or maybe you don't have any young kids at home, but you can develop some relationships with maybe extended family, or maybe be a big brother to some kids that don't have fatherly figures and that kind of thing. There's a way in which we can really show the love of God to others, and this is a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think the erosion of the family leads to a place where there is an erosion of authority. Mm-hmm. And when there's an erosion of authority, you get a cancel culture. You get a culture that is abandoning the law in favor of social pressure. And so when you're anti-authority, you get anarchy. And we see that in our society right now. I think racism is absolutely wrong. Let's be clear about that. If there's favoritism in laws, that's absolutely wrong. I think that if there's somehow there's a privilege that one group has over the other, that's not okay. But there is still the law. There still is the church. There still is the family. And when we don't have a proper respect for authority, when we're throwing bricks at policemen's heads, that is absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
Thanks for agreeing with
that. There's not much to speak into that. I just go back to seeing that problem when we erode the authority in our homes, which God has given men, the head of the house, the authority to lead their family. When they abdicate that role, or they just choose to do it differently and go and find their own truth and what that looks like, they're not the only ones that suffer. There's collateral damage in their wake, and we see it in the lives, especially of kids and broken marriages. And you gotta step up, guys. You gotta lead your families well. Like you were saying, Nate, there are opportunities. If you don't have a family, like, find places. You have that built in you. It's in your DNA at a molecular level where you need to do what God's called you to do. And that looks different for many of us, but there's some similarities in that. And that's doing things the right way, doing the right thing, standing up for what's noble, what's right, what's true. Have some character.
So, you know, today we're kind of talking about these three things, but I think that the family is the structure underneath all of these, underneath whether it be the church or the government. You know, really the teaching of who Jesus is should be coming not just from the church, but it should be coming from families. And having a understanding of the government's role in our lives should be coming from our families. And all of those things kind of are built up. And so, Travis, I just thought, man, we should just probably pray for the families. Would you be willing just to pray for the families of our listeners right now, and that God would just pour into them and bless them?
Absolutely. God, we come before you and we thank you for the gift of family that you've given us. We thank you for the roles that you've established from the time that you created the world. And God, I know that many of us fall short, and we all do it at many times, God, so we need you. We pray that any guys out there listening that have a wife, have kids, God, that you would just encourage them. You've equipped them for everything that they need for the job that you've called them to do. And I just pray that you would instill a noble passion in their heart to pursue you, and so that they can pass that along to their families, so that they can lead well. You've called men to provide and protect and love, and we know that we can't do those things apart from you. So God, you sent your son Jesus because we need him, and we need him every day. And I just pray that you would give us many opportunities for many men to choose to follow Jesus and really change some lives here, God. We just pray that as you work in the lives and the hearts of men, that that would change our community, that would change our workplaces, anywhere that guys kind of gather and hang out, the people that they have in their lives, Lord, that they would be blessed because of the men that you've put in their lives, Lord. So God, we just thank you for dads. We thank you for husbands. We thank you that you are the ultimate heavenly Father, Lord. And we know that there's been a lot of damage done by guys and men in people's lives, but you're the perfect heavenly Father, and you've given us your perfect son. So I pray that those folks that are hurt and have wounds, that they could look to you and they could see what that good looks like, how things were supposed to be, Lord. And I pray that you would offer healing, and that only you can do, through your grace and your mercy, through your son Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Hey, this is the guys from Evangel in Houghton, Michigan, and we'd like to thank you for listening. If you have any questions or want to tell us, hey, we think you should talk about this, travis@evangelup.org. May God bless you, and may God bless these United States of America. See you next time.